Let us pray. Lord, bless us as we share this special day celebrating Joel's ordination, ministry, person, and the ministry of this wonderful congregation. May your word and your teaching affirm and challenge all that you have given to us to serve you. Amen. So I'm so excited to be here with you today, Joel, to be able to be invited to speak into this moment, to celebrate your ministry, Reverend Joel Forrest Huntington. But I also feel we celebrate the ministry of this wonderful congregation, South Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. And that's what I will try to do today. But first, I have something for you, Joel. So wreaths are given to people for special accomplishments. So I give you this wreath of service that you have earned to wear on this special occasion. It started out small, but you know, I went overboard. What can I say? It happens. John Calvin said, faith is not about something that flits around in the top of your brain, but takes root in the deep parts of your heart. That's what we celebrate. One of the many things we celebrate you, Joel, about you and this congregation. The scripture I selected is, I think, appropriate for this day because it talks about how one person or three people or a congregation have used what God has given to them. And then continues to ask the question, what will we continue to do with what God has given to us in this special time in our lives? The book of Proverbs today reminds us to trust in the Lord, not only in our own wisdom, but in the wisdom of each other, of the Spirit in each other, and in the Spirit of the Lord. Which is why churches and congregations work when they share together that wisdom, making decisions together, growing and serving together. The gospel of the parable is one of the parables that I love very much. I love it because it's about each and every one of us here today. On the one hand, it can affirm us what we've accomplished in our lives and ministries, but continue to challenge us to do more according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much we feel God has given to us, the fact is God has given to all of us very, very much. Not just our money, our time, our resources, our ideas, our thoughts, the opportunities that we have. I recently had the honor and pleasure of hearing Harry Belafonte, now 90 years old, speak. And he talked about one thing his mother told him. He said, Harry, coincidence is opportunity. And many times in ministry, you think, why did that happen? Is that a coincidence? Many times it's the Holy Spirit, maybe not always, many times giving us an opportunity to stand back and reflect, what is it we're going to do now with the rest of our lives, with what God has given to us? To each of the servant, the master gives talents. Each talent is worth 15 years worth of wages. So one gets 45 years worth of wages, one gets 30, and one gets 15. What would you do if your boss gave you that? So we know that the boss is going to come back and ask for a report. You know, what have you done with what I have given to you? And it's not a stretch for us to see that Jesus is challenging us the same way. What are we going to do with what has been given to us with the rest of our lives? And so as I was researching this sermon, I came across the story of Rick and Carol Bernstein, who live in Freeland, Maryland. Does anybody know where Freeland, Maryland is? I didn't think so. Rick and Carol and their five children, Katie, Gregory, and Daniel, were living in Pikesville, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. I know I say Baltimore correctly. You don't say it right probably. But anyhow, gives you a clue where I'm from. Rick was working as an investment analyst for a bank in Baltimore. like so many of us, he had a plot of land in his backyard, about a quarter of an acre, and he decided to use his rototiller and make himself a garden. And like so many of us who enter in such a project, they ended up with a lot more produce than they ever expected, and they couldn't eat it all. So one day, their daughter Katie says, "What are we going to do with all this? We can't just throw it away, can we?" So Rick built a little roadside stand out in front of their house and asked the kids to staff the stand, but they still had a lot left over. So Rick decided one day to throw it in the trunk of his car and go down to a place called Our Daily Bread, a Catholic homeless mission where people at his work had volunteered on occasion. He knocked on the door and asked, "Can you use any of these fresh vegetables from my garden?" And they said, "Can we use them? Most of what we get comes from grocery stores a few days old." So Rick says, this became a part of his routine. But what happened to him was not routine as a result. He realized something was missing in his life. He was seeking more. So he picked up the Bible, and over a year and a half, he read it twice. He realized what was missing in his life, and that was God. He became a Christian. And then what really struck him was the following verse from Matthew 25. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. When you do this for the least of me, these you do it for me." For whatever reason, that really hit him very, very hard. "Blew me away," he says. One night he was unable to sleep. He nudged his wife, Carol. She mumbled something. "What?" He said, "We're not doing enough." She says, "What do you mean?" "Meaning, I'm wondering if we should take all of our savings, sell our house, and buy a farm." Carol was quiet a long time. Rick says, then she looked at me and she said, "If you really believe this is a call from God, I'm all in. Yes, let's try it." Our real estate agent showed us a 42-acre farm in Freeland, Maryland, on an expanse of rolling hills, beautiful fields, a spring-fed stream, and a two-story house almost 200 years old. The former owner, George Hamster, buried in the Baptist Church Cemetery just a half mile down the road. Carol pulled me aside and said, "This is the place." Rick and Carol's First Fruits Farm was born in 1998 when the Bernstein family moved to northern Baltimore County, Maryland, with the idea that they would plant and harvest produce in their fields with a volunteer workforce and give it all away to needy individuals and families in Baltimore County, Greater Baltimore, Maryland. He says, "Our first season was a true adventure. We had little equipment and even less experience. But I learned by my mentor in a work-related leadership program in Baltimore, was none other than the executive director of the Maryland Food Bank. And he introduced me to Gloria Luster, who was with a program called Mid-Atlantic Gleaning Network, an elderly woman with this network. And they would go out into the fields after the farmers had harvested things and bring the leftovers gleaned to places where the food was needed. There were plenty of farmers in the church we attended, Hereford United Methodist Church, not too far from Freeland, who were willing to give us advice and help. Even the pastor there had been a farmer growing up. One farmer joked, though, he would sell tickets to see these city slickers fall flat on their face. But people helped, and soon they had many volunteers from the local area and even beyond the local area helping them out. Rick is Jewish, but Jesus came a knocking at the door and gave him a vision to buy a farm in northern Baltimore County. He now farms 250 acres. He doesn't own it all, but there's other pieces of land that people are contributing that he uses. They give all the produce, which includes potatoes, sweet corn, cabbage, squash, tomatoes, beans, lettuce, and more. Almost 2 million pounds this past season away to people, to programs that need it. And lots of volunteers from all over the place, of all ages, of all backgrounds, come and help to harvest and plant and take care of it. Rick said in response to Jesus' calling, yes, let's try it. Rick and Carol give all the glory to God and are grateful for the many volunteers that make First Fruits Farm work. They rely on God's help every step of the way. I'm telling you this story because, in part, I think it's an example of when God comes a calling, we take all that we have and we risk it all, invest it all, for what God is asking us to do and to be. I think it also models what you here at South Church have also done in your exciting ministry, doing what you feel God calls you to do, giving glory to God. But I'm also telling you this story for another reason. Instead of another story that I was going to tell, because while I was researching, I came across this story about First Fruits Farm and realized it's just 2 miles from where I spent the last part of my years growing up in Freeland, Maryland. I never knew it was there. And just less than 10 miles from where I grew up on a farm up the roadways, raising cattle and pigs and chickens and wheat and corn and barley and lots of produce in our garden. And then I went home last weekend. I had an aunt who died, and I went home for the funeral, and I called one of my friends from the church I grew up in and about my Aunt Nancy, and I was telling about this First Fruits Farms, and when he said, yeah, they come to our church. I said, what? The church I was baptized in, confirmed in, and where I was ordained on September 15th, 1974, Rick and Carol Bernstein go to that church? Yeah, he read scripture last Sunday. I said, what? How could this be? So I called Rick and I talked, you know. I didn't have a chance to go and visit with him while I was home for my aunt's funeral, but it was exciting to talk about his journey of faith. It's a lot like the journey those of us who have gone in the Christian ministry have, you know, trying to figure out what God wants us to do and to be. Rick says, it's a ministry of Jesus Christ in word and deed. You see God working before your very eyes. Now, when I went to seminary, when I was looking to go to theological school, I was impressed by a guy by the name of Gabriel Facker, a theological professor at Lancaster Theological Seminary. And then he moved to Andover Newton, which was one of the reasons I went to Andover Newton to follow Gabe. And he wrote a book called Word in Deed, the very thing that Rick is talking about. So the gospel lesson, Rick and Carol Bernstein, they ask us the question, what are you doing? What are we doing with the rest of our lives? Rick and Carol are actually in a period of discernment right now as to what to do next with the farm. If any of you would like to move to Freeland, Maryland and become a fan of the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens, give them a call. They're on Facebook. What they did was a crazy thing. 39 years ago and a few months, a young theological student came to see me. He was also saying to himself, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? He was a student. He had a need for a place to do field education. He was interested in urban ministry. So the young man foolishly sought out a minister who was only 4 years into his work as a minister and still had a lot to learn. And being a pastor of an urban church, I was in over my head. really, the only reason they hired me, out of desperation, because I was so young, they hired the young guy who thought maybe they could do something with this guy to help save their church. Fortunately, the church is still there and doing well. So, out of obligation, I showed Joel around the church and the community. I had never taken a class to be a supervisor of a field edge student. I hadn't planned on taking a class. How was I going to find the time to supervise a student? I tried to discourage him. Surely, there's other ministers out there with a lot more experience than me who have taken the training, a church with more resources and more people. But do you know what this young theological student did? We were sitting on the front steps of the parsonage where I lived. He looked me in the eye and said, "No, Dennis, I want to work with you here in Jamaica Plain." I don't know exactly what I said next, as I was in shock. But it was probably something, "Well, let's give it a try." In those early days, Joel had a vision for urban ministry. And it stuck. It stands the test of time. He had a vision for being in the city where the challenges are great and the needs are many. Was it your Roman Catholic background? Was it Earlham College, a Quaker school? Was it your involvement in the charismatic movement? Was it Torah? Or was it the Holy Spirit? So we spent 4 challenging years working together. I even tried to discourage him by convincing our church to sponsor a very large Cambodian refugee family. So the family arrived and I left on vacation. It was in Joel's hands. They spoke no English, and he didn't speak their language either. I came back from vacation. He was still not discouraged. So I ask you, everyone here today from South Church or wherever you're from, has Reverend Joel Forrest Huntington had a positive impact upon your life and ministry?
Yes.
You can say a little louder. Convince me! Convince me! There you go. See, I give thanks to God, Joel, because of that. You changed my life for the better. I've supervised many field ed students and would never have probably gotten started if it hadn't been for you. Every one of them has been an honor to work with, and every one of them has changed my life and gone on to change the world, just like you have done. And Joel, has this wonderful congregation, where you have been for over 28 years, have they changed your life for the better?
Amen.
All right. Of course, I knew that was going to be your answer. And I also knew that was going to be your answer because I've been talking to some of them behind your back. See, we celebrate you, Joel, in the following ways, in the words of some of the people I've talked to. Joel, Reverend Huntington, has a strong faith and loves the Lord God, is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and is led by the Holy Spirit. Joel is caring, genuine, humble, and authentic. As one person said, "What you see is what you get." You have shown you really care about each person in the church, each and every person in the church's multifaceted ministry, and in the community as a whole. It's amazing how many people in Pittsfield know you. You are highly and widely regarded throughout Pittsfield. It's reported that you're a good preacher. Right, John? And John says to me, "How does Joel do it?" You share your own life experiences, which allows people to connect with you and the message you have to share. You have been found to be a great colleague to other clergy, a great support to the interns who have the joy of working with you. Everyone says Joel works well with others. It's been reported to me that Reverend Huntington is an effective and quiet presence inside and outside the church, which I can tell makes your parishioners very, very proud to have you as their pastor. As one person says, Joel is pastor really to a number of communities, the congregation who worships here, those who are part of the food pantry, where you are intricately connected. You're a pastor to all the volunteers in the food pantry in St. Joe's Kitchen. You know everyone's name, the recipients of the pantry and St. Joe's Kitchen. You're a pastor to the whole group that run the thrift shop, and they're very fond of you. You're a great listener. You listen to people's stories of trauma and pain, accept them, love them, and in so doing, you bring healing to them. You can do this in part because you've shared your own stories of challenge, which allows people to know you're a real human being. You even share some of your mistakes. You understand. Your empathy is one of your greatest qualities, allowing you to reach people at so many levels. And more than one person has said to me, Joel is capable of handling challenging situations with tremendous skill. Nothing seems to faze you. Furthermore, everyone knows you really enjoy your ministry. Everyone knows that you and Torah love Pittsfield. Everyone knows you love and support your family, Torah, Leah, and Meg. And people feel they are amazing. Everyone knows that you accommodate with a great sense of humor. Everyone knows that you set a great example for others to follow through your Christian faith, your willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit, your willingness to welcome anyone and everyone, and yes, to even set a good example by taking time off for yourself, hiking, biking, and getting away. You are congregationalist at heart, knowing that it is together with your congregation and the community that you determine what God wants you to be and to do. I do find it very interesting that you're the only congregational United Church of Christ church that has a ministry called St. Joseph's Kitchen that started in a Catholic school. I will say no more about that. Obviously, you have a very ecumenical and interfaith way of being in this community. There was a denomination once that had a theme called That We Might All Be One. Remember that denomination? You have a theology of the heart and the soul. And your ministry, your decisions, your leadership, your interaction with everybody is informed by that. You trust the Holy Spirit to lead you in everything. You champion every person and their ideas. And with the Reformation in mind, you show unconditional love and grace and acceptance. I love this. One person said, Joel chooses compassion over fear, empathy over self-interest, empathy over self-comfort. Fear does not stop him. Thanks be to God for you, Joel. Thanks be to God. But I also give thanks to God for and celebrate the ministry of South Congregational Church and all who are part of it. It's not just the members. There's other people who are part of this wonderful ministry. So many. And this place, this ministry, is perceived as having a just-do-it attitude, no matter how messy it is. Some call it flying by the seat of your pants. Some call it, you know, duct tape ministry. Holy Spirit's getting in the way here. So I put together a mission statement for your church. It's something like this. Led by the Holy Spirit and as disciples of Jesus Christ, we say, yes, let's try it, no matter how messy. So let's see how this works. This amazing congregation has much to its credit. A wonderful men's group now over 20 years old because you at South Church said, yes, let's try it. Can you say that? Yes, let's try it. You have the thrift store via the mission group because you said,
yes, let's try it.
You took on the ministry of St. Joseph's Kitchen at Sister Catherine's nudging, of course, because you said, you had so much food left over, you didn't know what to do with it. So you started a pantry because you said,
yes,
Now, St. South Church has the largest food ministry in the Berkshires, sharing a ton of food a week, serving over 500 families. Why? Because led by the Holy Spirit, you said,
yes, that's right.
You have a wonderful intern program, especially important now that some of our theological schools are facing challenging times and moving further away. And now you have this program because led by the Holy Spirit and a generous gift, you said,
yes.
And now you have Bread and Roses Coffee House because you said,
yes.
Am I missing anything? You have an Episcopalian priest serving as your organist. Because you said,
yes.
And Ted said, I have nothing else to do. So it's this amazing vibrancy here at South Church, which we celebrate today, a faith that has taken deep roots in all of your hearts and souls, in your pastor's heart as well. You have said yes to the Spirit, yes to each other, yes to your pastor. And it seems that every time Jesus comes, you say,
yes, that's right.
It takes courage. I give thanks to God for you, Joel Forrest Huntington, for South Congregational Church and all of you who are involved in its ministry, wherever you are, for saying yes to God's calling. You have changed yourselves, this community, and the world because you have said yes to Jesus Christ's calling. And there's one last thing I have to say to you, Joel, if I can. As I talked to people, it became very clear to me that this congregation and this community loves you very, very much. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
And that's important to people like me. After 28 years, 29 years here, they love you very, very much. They have followed you because of your passion and your courage and your faith. And the words of John Calvin, faith is not something that flits around in the top of the brain, but takes root in your heart. Keep reaching as the Holy Spirit leads, even when it gets messy. So I want you and your moderator, Gene, to please come forward at this time. I have one more thing I want to do with you guys. And just all right, so why don't you just stand on this step? Let's see. See if you can hold a couple of these. Couple of these for Gene. Can you hold one more? So now you turn around. So, you know, to demonstrate and illustrate the parable of the talents. So, do you hide your light under a bushel?
No.
And when the Holy Spirit gives you gifts, do you keep them locked up in your closet in a box?
No.
Or inside of a balloon? Inside these balloons are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, in order for them to work, we got to release them. Like that, you know? And like this. And like this. And this. And this, and this. There you go. There was the gifts. Let them go, use them, and may they lead you as you continue to say, what do you say?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the idea. That's why Torah invited me to come.